There is no
IP in fax. Really?
Madam Chair,
Lonnie may have a response.
Okay, well, let me, all right. Lonnie, go ahead.
Well, yes, it was. At the September board of last year, it was proposed, but it was not passed by the board.
Okay, thank you. David.
I need to ask another question about agenda, because the KPFK local board has motions related to finance and the finance committee. I asked Ambrose whether we had intended to bring those forth in the section from in the KPFK local station board report. I asked Ambrose. He said it's more appropriate here. I'd like to know when it can be brought, these motions can be brought forward. They deal with things like, for example, we're recommending that as part of the budget planning process, a plan for what will happen to shortfalls in the event of shortfalls or surpluses be part of the project process, et cetera.
Well, let's go forward with the resolutions we have on the agenda, and your request is noted, and we'll try to work it in if we can in this section, but we need to go ahead with what we have first on the agenda. Carol.
Mark, you said that there are some motions that are going to be presented. Wouldn't they be presented now? When do you intend to present
them? I would prefer them. Can I do them now?
Yes.
I don't have that other one that was the signatory, so that's why I didn't. But if I could go.
Dan, do you have the signatory one or Lonnie?
Well, wait a minute. I want to clarify.
Okay.
The recommended actions from the Finance Committee. Do you have the text of some recommended actions from the Finance Committee that you want the National Board to approve?
Well, yes. I have the three that I have already presented that we'll talk about in terms of legal expenses and salary disclosure. However, with respect to
I haven't seen them, though. Where are they?
Well, I did email everyone on the committee, but they're also in part one here. I'm in number in the first. Yeah, it says number one.
Motion to
the
approve.
First page.
Okay, that's all. I'm just trying to get oriented. Thank you.
Yeah, but now, Carol, to answer your question, some, for example, creating a development committee, I have no motion, specific motion to do that. I want to put it before the board as something to consider, and then anything that takes, I'll take up with new business. But some of these I don't have, but the ones in particular that we've discussed in our committee, they are here.
Okay. All right. I'd like to take care. Are there any more questions for Mark? Yes, Miguel.
When we were talking about the fundraising, I was not really clear in how that issue was discussed in the Finance Committee, and if there was any specific recommendation in terms of how to help with the fundraising. I thought that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that you mentioned how the board can help
raise money.
Right. Is any specific recommendation in how the board can participate in helping the fundraising that's going to be presented to us today or tomorrow?
No, and I think that's one of the reasons why. The only thing we looked at was certainly one of the recognized functions of board is to assist in that area. I don't think we should have a bake sale putting you to work, but I'm just saying in terms of resources and ideas, and I think a lot of that falls under development. And it's certainly, I know I am also on the development committee at the local level, and one of the things that we're looking to do is ways that we can steady the revenue stream so that we're not so dependent on the pledge functions, smooth the curve out a little bit, and find other sources that are in keeping with the Pacifica mission and everything. I'm not talking any kind of commercial enterprise of any nature, anything like that, but I'm just saying ideas. And that's why I think a development committee at the national level may be involving the individual people who are at the local level working on development to coordinate that might be a good function for this board to consider.
Right, William.
I'm just not sure why we're so afraid to do a development committee. I think that we should just put it out there. We don't need a motion for it. Just if we throw it out there and have a few volunteers. Verna Avery Brown should be soliciting our high donors and saying why we'd like for them to continue donating. Like, we don't do any person-to-person solicitation. I mean, I would be willing to solicit some of our donors also, and it's something that most large organizations of this size with large budgets do. And I don't think that we need any formality. We just need to start the committee and have people volunteer to do it and not to be afraid of the class issues behind it and just to do it. I grew up poor, and I'm willing to go do it. So I'm still poor.
Can we go to my motions, then,
yeah,
madam?
Okay. Let's go to the motions.
All right, let's
from
go.
The agenda.
Now, one of the
First of all, the first resolution is the let's get the WBAI bank signing resolution Schwab thing done. Okay.
Okay, manager.
Just a moment. What, Carol? Yeah,
under the treasurer's report, the motions coming out of the committee, which are here, are first, and then we move to the next thing, as I
well,
understand.
Well, unfortunately, the agenda is perhaps not that clear.
We're still in the report.
Well, some of the resolutions in the agenda mirror some of the resolutions here on Mark's recommendations. Isn't that what's going on here?
But Madam Chair, can I, since I kind of opened the door on that, then close it with those two before we introduce the whole issue, which is not really anything I'm dealing with the signature.
All right. That's fine.
Okay. So the first resolution.
It's out of order of the agenda, but let's go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. The first, and you'll find this under section one. And the first two motions first were an outgrowth of lengthy discussions regarding the issue of salary disclosure and the question of what to do with about the absolute right of board directors to that information, how to incorporate concerns from the staff, how to incorporate the LSB, and the role of the treasurer. And so we have two. The first motion reads, in recognition of the absolute right of directors to inspect foundation records as outlined in the bylaws, and with full acknowledgement of the fiduciary obligations of said directors to the foundation, the Pacifica National Board hereby affirms the access privileges of directors to all records, including sensitive personnel, headcount, and salary information upon request. Information marked confidential will be treated accordingly.
Second the motion.
All right. It's been moved and seconded that we adopt this resolution. Is there any discussion? All right, Dan.
A couple things. We've discussed this, obviously, quite a bit over the last several months. The general managers, myself, and the CFO, I think, have expressed on a number of occasions some of our concerns around the release of a variety of different types of information. Medical information, membership data, age-related information, sexual orientation information, ethnic and racial information, information about national origin.
Does this have to do with the salary issue?
Well, I think the resolution is talking about the absolute right of directors to access all institutional information. So our concerns relate to some of the information that I just mentioned, as well as information which may be used for factional purposes by one Pacifica faction over another, which many general managers and staff inside the stations believe, rightly or wrongly, that information requests are often used as fishing expeditions to dig up negative or one-sided information about a particular staff person or other staff people associated with an opposing faction in order to terminate that staff person.
I'd like to call the question.
No.
Information that may be considered related to legal correspondence. Information that might be considered proprietary. Information that may be prohibited by federal and state law to disclose, i.e. privacy, information governed by privacy rights. Membership data. There are state and federal laws governing the use of membership data. Those of us who answer the phones during fund drives often hear people say, well, can we read your name over the air? And they say no, because they're concerned about privacy rights. It's a major issue in this country. And, of course, donor information is often very sensitive, considered very confidential and private.
Okay.
We have a number of other concerns around the use and the request for salary data.
Okay, Dan.
Can I finish? I would appreciate it, because we've tried to bring these up all day today. We haven't had an opportunity. Please don't consider my raising these issues as disrespectful or resistant or difficult. These are issues that I have to raise in my capacity as the executive director of the foundation in representing the concerns of staff around the system. So in terms of the salary information, salary information in recent years in Pacifica has been considered confidential and private. This marks a big change in that practice. And the privacy rights of our employees now is an issue that we need to think about. The unions in Pacifica do oppose the release of individual salary information to directors. Staff members that I have talked to also oppose the release of individual salary information. There's also an issue of the conflicts of interest on this board related to individual salary information. Again, no disrespect to brothers and sisters and colleagues and comrades on the board who are staff members, who are union brothers or union sisters, but the potential conflicts that arise from staff in unions related to negotiations over salaries and their access to that information and that potential use in salary discussions and salary negotiations with unions is an issue that we need to deal with. Let me also say finally that the issue of confidentiality of use of confidential information in Pacifica doesn't exist in my experience. Information that is considered confidential is often disclosed. This is not a good practice for this foundation to move on. So, again, in closing, thank you for letting me raise these concerns. I appreciate it. I'm sorry for taking so much time. It's my position and my job as executive director to raise these concerns. It's not disrespectful. It's not being difficult. But it's simply representing widespread concerns within the foundation around the potential use or misuse of private information.
Okay, thank you very much, Dan. Now, we're going to take pros and cons from now on.
A question of clarification to Dan Coughlin.
Yes, go ahead, Miguel.
Dan.
Wait a minute. It's out of order. He has a question of clarification.
Okay,
quickly, please.
For instance, just let me give you one example. Is Pacifica policy when somebody applies for a job, or if we have any job form application that as a person, a man or a woman, for what is the sexual orientation? Is that part of any job application form, or is that part of Pacifica policy?
No.
Okay, thank you. That point has been clarified now. We're going to take pros and cons. I believe Dan was speaking against the resolution, so now we want
I can't hear.
Someone who will... Alice, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to... My name is Alice Shields. I'd like to speak for Mark's first resolution. I believe Dan did address these concerns a month or more ago, and on April 28th, the Pacifica National Board, through telephonic meeting, created, trying to take Dan's concerns into consideration, created an interim communications policy that has been in part held up till today, till this motion can be passed. On that occasion and right before it, we did consult with the foundation's attorney to try and get clarity on this issue, because it is, of course, important. And the attorney wrote us back on the Pacifica board, and essentially, I believe our communications policy, which everyone on this board would have received approximately April 28th or 29th, clarifies what to do about these issues. And as my understanding of that policy is that when there is any question by the executive director or the chief financial officer of any perhaps delicate matters that they should consider before releasing whatever material to the board, that they consult with the board and the foundation attorney. And therefore, I believe we're covered. I believe that this all information, as the bylaws say, every director has absolute right to any foundation document whatsoever. And I believe that with the input of the staff and the creation of this new communications policy, which we may choose to modify, that we have covered these concerns, that the foundation directors can get what information they feel they need, and at the same time that some of these personnel issues, if they exist, can be protected. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice. Now, from now on, let's stick to our 2 minutes, please. Patty, could you come and be our timer again, please? All right. Somebody speaking against the resolution? Can I see hands of people against the resolution? Okay, Lonnie.
Yes. This is going to be it's a complicated issue, and I think that does require some careful thought. But the thing I want to address right now is the broad language that a director has an absolute right to any document and any information in the network. I think that's far too broad a language. What we have before us is a resolution that deals with only salary issues. To expand it outward to any document, I think, is very dangerous. For example, does that include medical information? No, it does not under state of California law. You cannot get information, medical information of an employee. You cannot state their health condition in a public arena like they have AIDS. You can't do that. Social Security numbers, that's a very delicate issue. Personnel, certain kinds of personnel files, these are delicate issues. What I'm saying is that we must be careful in our language, in this meeting, in a broadcast, not to overly claim access to information, stick with a narrow issue of salaries, first of all. Okay, you cannot do it on a broadcast, claim that kind of broad access to information. Okay, that's the first point. You must be careful and clear and not overstate the case. The second point around salary issues. The rationale is you can't do the job of revising or looking at budgets without having the detail of the salaries. Solutions have included everything from giving salary ranges but not giving the names. Solutions have included everything but giving part of positions. Many organizations do that. That is a reasonable solution, but that's not what I'm hearing. I'm going to be clear about it. What I'm hearing is all information, name, Social Security number. If that's not the intent, then I need to be clear about that.
Thank you, Lonnie. Someone speaking for the resolution. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify because none of these issues, of course, are new. We've all talked about them. And that's why this motion is carefully crafted. First of all, we separate the director access from the questions of the LSB, and the treasurer, in keeping with the bylaws, which do state absolute right. There are no parentheticals in that statement. We might want to attempt to introduce them, but they're not there. So we're looking at the right. Again, our right as overseers of the foundation to be able to investigate the information. Now, if there is an improper request, such as health information or sexual orientation, then the information is not given, and we go to the committee that we have set up to deal with the situation where management feels there is a request that is out of line. What we also introduced into this particular clause as a result of our conversations was with acknowledgement of their fiduciary responsibility, which means the oath that we take of loyalty to the foundation, as that oath of loyalty to the foundation being higher than it is to our particular personal interest. That is the thing that we are saying we are doing here. And by acknowledging that fiduciary obligation, should a director misuse that information in a way which violates their fiduciary responsibility, then there are already provisions in the bylaws to deal with disqualifying acts. So in my opinion, by throwing in the fiduciary and underscoring it, the fiduciary obligation, as well as the absolute right, we're weighing the two and saying we can't oversee something that we don't know about. And salaries is key here, and how many people we employ, and that's the information we don't have. And I can't look anybody in the eye and say, oh, yes, I'm a director, but don't ask me what we do with 52% of your money. I'm not prepared to say that to anyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Point of information? What? Okay, Sarv.
This is Sarv Randhawa, and the point of information is, Mark, this is a legal, there's a lot of legal language here, and I wonder if there's a resolution has been cleared by our Pacific Foundation legal attorney.
Not the exact wording of this particular one, but much of the framing of it was drawn from the legal opinion we received earlier, not once but twice, on the question of directors' access to salary and other information.
Right,
there have been a
you.
Number of back and forths on that.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay. Now, somebody speaking against the resolution. I believe, Dave, you're next in the...
I'm concerned that the motion doesn't do enough based on what we're hearing now, because I think that the issue is that the Finance Committee passed a resolution saying that it should be provided with some things. So I also want to point out in passing that what Lonnie raised about the question of liability accompanying access, as was pointed out in the retreat today, the liability rests with the board. So I don't understand why an executive with whom the liability does not rest would have access to information, whereas those of us with whom liability does rest would not. But I would like to amend this. I'd like to move to amend to instruct the executive director to comply as soon as possible with the information requests already approved by the Finance Committee, to make it abundantly specific.
Second.
All right. The amendment now has been moved and seconded. So we're to a point of debating the amendment or discussing the amendment. Is there discussion on the amendment that Dave has just offered, that the information be released immediately?
Well, yeah.
As soon as possible. Gerald, go ahead.
Yeah, well. It looks like that's a friendly amendment. Is that right, Mark?
Well, there really is
no such thing. No.
It's just an amendment.
No, just an amendment.
Okay. Well, I want to support the amendment and the motion as a whole. You know, Dan, trade union contracts are public information. They are regularly on websites for all to see. In fact, the contract of the workers who work for KPFA is on our website. So this is, we're not talking about no state secret with the seven seals here. Now, there's another reason, though, that this, we really have to take a hard line on this matter, see. I'm from Oakland, and I can tell you I've ran for school board a while back, and I worked with people there. And I watched how the people on the school board, see, allowed the superintendent of the schools to give all the reports, finance, always run his mouth, and actually they became a group of hand raisers. And you know what? Basically, what happened is the superintendent made a serious series of errors. I don't think he was a thief, but he just made a series of errors in his calculations on the budget. He got behind, allegedly, $100 million. I don't know about that, but no, I'm serious. This is real. And basically, the state moved in, shut down the school board, because naturally it's their fault, you see? And that's it. The end of story. Now they're closing down 5 schools in Oakland. So, if I have to look at and balance the evils, I prefer the evil of knowing what the hell I'm voting for, see? And with some possible error down the line, unspecified possible error, off with the blindfolds. Let's pass this motion.
All right. Thank you, Gerald. Ray, do you want to speak?
Yes.
Ray LaForest.
Chair, I want to speak against the motion. I believe it is overly broad, and as was made quite eloquently, I believe, by both the executive director and the financial officer, that it is dangerous. I further believe that it is superfluous.
We're debating the amendment now, though. Are you?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I missed something somewhere.
Yeah. We'll get back to that main motion. Thank you. Carol.
I'm confused. The amendment appears to be directed at a different subject than the main motion.
I agree.
I think that the amendment is out of order because it's not germane to the main motion, and that we should not be entertaining the amendment because it's not an amendment to the main motion. It's a different subject matter. So I am actually raising a point of order with the chair, asking you to rule the amendment out of order and take us back to the main motion, please.
I think let me read it, but I think you're right. Dave's amendment is to amend the motion to instruct the ED to comply as soon as possible with the information request regarding salary information that has been passed by the Finance Committee.
That's not the motion in front of us, which is a broad general right.
I think you're right. So let's go back to the main motion. And Ray, you may speak. Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, I believe that the motion is overly broad. That was testified to by the executive director and the national finance officer, and dangerous. And I believe it is superfluous, and that the board is quite able to get access to all the information it desires without such a broad motion. I would move that we table it, and I understand that. I can see that clearly a lot of work went into discussing it. But if necessary, that we seek legal advice for the motion as presented.
I'm sorry. I missed what happened.
You moved to table it, but you have to say table it to win. Postpone it to win.
Thank you. I move to postpone it to win. Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't second that. You have to say win.
I need a cup of coffee. I want to postpone it until we seek legal advice and that the motion be amended.
All right. It's been moved and seconded that the motion be tabled until after we have sought legal advice. There's no debate.
No debate.
No debate. No discussion. We're going to vote. So all those in favor, is it clear?
Postponed to a certain time. Is debatable.
No, that's not what he... This is
clear. Lay aside. Lay it on the table. Okay.
Yeah. So... all those in favor of laying this motion on the table, signify by raising your hand, please.
1, 2, 4.
All those against? I can't. 16 to 4. So the motion is defeated. The motion to table is defeated. So now we'll go back to the main motion. And let's see. I think Roger.
Someone always has access to this information that we're talking about, this personal information, confidential information, so on and so forth. People at Pacifica have access to this information. And those people, by law, not only the bylaws, the section in the item in the bylaws that says that directors shall have access to information is taken from California law, pretty much. It's pretty close. And so, therefore, some of the people that should have access to information are the directors of the foundation. And the directors of the foundation are just as bound as anyone else we're legally bound to these privacy regulations and laws, and we're obliged to, you know, handle the information properly. It's just as whoever has access to the information currently does.
William?
I'm not sure if this is proper at this time. I'd like to propose another amendment, so I have to wait until this one's done?
No. We're on the main motion.
We're on the main motion? Oh.
Yeah.
I'd like to propose an amendment to strike the two words sensitive personnel from the motion.
Say it again, please.
I'd like to propose an amendment to strike the two words sensitive personnel from the motion.
Is there a second?
Sensitive personnel is the word you want.
Second.
Who wants to strike those words?
All right. It's been moved and seconded that we strike the words sensitive personnel from the resolution that's before us. Discussion. David.
Sounds good. I'd just like to understand, could I get a better definition of sensitive personnel so I know what it is?
I think Dan gave us his definition of sensitive personnel.
Can I speak to that?
Okay, William.
I'd like to speak to that. And the reason I'm proposing that amendment is because there is no definition of sensitive personnel. The point that Ray brought up about tabling this until we got legal opinion on it would be great. But because this board would like to move forward, it would be in our best interest to strike those two words from this motion because we don't know what that means. And it takes out the ambiguity, thank you, of a situation where when we're requesting that the national office do something, we'd like to know what we're requesting them to do, and they need to know what they're being requested to do in line with their job description. And sensitive personnel is a phrase that could be medical records. It could mean information about someone's sexual orientation. It could mean information about harassment, a conflict, things that are protected by California law and by other laws in other states that we operate, and it's something that we haven't discussed at this board level. So if we strike those two words from here, it may not be as amenable to our staff, and I still have reservations about requesting salary information, but it's a motion that I would support.
Can we call the question,
Lonnie?
Yeah, I think that is a good example of a phrase that is too vague and overly broad because the personnel file has all kinds of stuff in it. And when you ask, what does personnel information mean? You're beyond salary. You're into an area that has a very broad scope of possibility.
Carol.
I'm as concerned about the privacy rights of our employees as Lonnie is. I believe that we should never reveal publicly our personnel records. I think there's a fundamental misunderstanding about who the public is. The public is not the board of directors. The board of directors is the fiduciary board, fiduciary body of this organization that ensures that we are complying with all state, federal, and other laws that are applicable, including personnel matters. It may arise that, there are any number of situations that could arise where the need to see a personnel file would be paramount for a board member. where there have been allegations, for instance, just I'm pulling things out of the hat, of sexual harassment.
I move to call the question.
I don't think you can do that. No, I have the floor. It is the duty of the board to ensure that our managers are complying with the laws. And it is possible at some point that we would need to look at sensitive personnel information in order to determine whether they were complying with the laws. So I think that the concern here is misplaced. Nobody's asking for personnel files. But if they did, they would have a good reason for it. And I think we should affirm absolutely, unconditionally, the right of the directors to the information they request, because the responsibility lies with them. The buck stops here. And I'm personally liable if there is something going on in this foundation that is not in compliance with the law, and I fail to investigate it. Mark.
And I appreciate the comments by my colleague, all of them. I kind of like the striking in a way, because I think that some of the concerns that have been raised, and the main concern that motivated a lot of this at the finance level was, I was just looking at the budget, was $7.8 million in salary we're budgeting for the next year. There's no way we can look at those numbers if we don't know what they are. There's just no way. And so that's the bigger concern. If there are concerns that someone might be prying into privacy issues, although I don't know why you would have them in my personal file either. I hope my sexual orientation is mine. But in the event that you have, you know, stuck it in my folder, okay, fine. I don't need to see that. That's not my concern. So I think that what William did was wise. And I got a sense that that was a good thing to do, so I feel like Solomon is in the room and I'm ready to vote.
Okay, there you go.
Wow. Are you calling the question?
Yes, I'm calling the question. Oh, wait. Sonali was in stack. Sorry.
I have one more question.
I believe he can. Yes.
We've got four more motions.
Is it a point of clarification before you vote?
It's a question.
Sorry.
Point of information.
No. All right. Point of information. Go ahead.
Well, it might not really be a point of information. Never mind.
All right. The question's been called.
All in favor, end the debate.
So this is on William's amendment.
No, it's whether to end debate.
I'm sorry. I do it every time. All right. Every single time. All right. So the motion is to limit or to end debate. On William's amendment to Mark's motion. All those in favor?
Ending the debate.
Ending the debate. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. All those opposed? Two. So we're going to vote on William's amendment.
Yes. Which is to strike sensitive personnel.
Which is to strike sensitive personnel from Mark's motion regarding the absolute right of directors to inspect foundation records. All right. All those in favor? Those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 14 to 6. The motion carries.
Now we're back to the main motion.
Is there any more discussion on the main motion? Yes?
Given that this has been stricken, the motion does not exclude that at some point. It just does not specifically include that.
That's why I voted for it.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was my question.
And we don't go to the mail.
Yes.
Well,
that's right.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that the semantics of what you said is right, but it's not going to be a part of our record.
Right.
Just because I think it's important that I mean, we can think what we want, but it's been stricken from this record.
Yes.
All right, that's enough on that. Is there any more discussion on the motion?
No.
All right.
So, Madam Chair, we're on to the next one, right?
We have to reread it.
Can we vote?
Yes, we can vote. Yes.
Is it unclear, Julie?
Okay, Julie, question?
I just wanted clarification as to whether or not we're going back to the main motion and there's an opportunity for discussion on that main motion.
That's what she's saying.
Yes. So, is there discussion? Yes.
No.
Out of order.
Madam Chair, once we approve the amended motion, the main one is dead. Because we've amended it. We've already approved the motion with its strict.
We've approved the amendment to the main motion, but we haven't voted on the main motion.
Oh, now we're voting on the main motion with it stricken. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, please, Julie.
I just want to make a point that as of now, we as a PMB were going to revisit the whole issue of communication and how these documents were requested from the PMB. And so my concern is that in absence of that policy, moving forward with this motion might be sort of in conflict. Because I'm a little concerned that we don't even have a policy for requesting this information. We have an interim policy, but without an actual policy of how to request this information, I'm a little concerned if we move forward and pass this motion. So I don't know if this is in order, and I'll ask the rest of the board, can I make a motion now to table this particular motion until we pass the communications policy to then proceed with this particular motion?
We've amended it now.
No, it's
moved to table. Excuse me, quiet, please. We have a parliamentarian in our midst. We're trying to decide. We've already voted down tabling this main motion. And now it's been suggested that we table again now that it's been amended. And I'm wondering if that's out of order. All right. He doesn't know it.
Madam Chair,
I'm going to rule it out of order. All right, I've done it. Okay, so now more discussion on the main motion.
Right, can we call the question on that? I thought that we finished.
No, you're out of order, Miguel. Please. I haven't recognized him. We still have people who haven't spoken. Sonali.
Well, I was going to speak to what Julie said, but I guess I just want to make the issue of make the point that the policy to bring information, the policy for information requests, can always come after the decision to actually have the right to that access. And I think it's very clear. I would urge us to just go ahead as soon as possible and vote on this motion. Let's go to a vote. We've had endless discussion on it. We know where all of us stand. Let's find out if this board will pass this motion or not. I am calling the question.
All right, the question's been called. Doesn't need, yes. Yeah, 2/3 vote. All right, the question has been called. This is to limit, to end debate on this motion. All those in favor?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay. All those opposed?
18.
All right. That motion carries. All right. Now we go to voting on the main motion as amended.
Would you read it for the record?
Yes, I will. In recognition of the absolute right of directors to inspect foundation records, as outlined in the bylaws and with full acknowledgement of the fiduciary obligations of directors to the foundation, the Pacifica National Board hereby affirms the access privileges of directors to all records, including head count, and salary information upon request. Information marked confidential will be treated accordingly. All right, all those in favor?
We have a voice vote.
A roll call vote?
Roll call vote.
All right.
I'm ready for you.
Maybe all right, a roll call vote.
Point of order.
Yes.
Really quickly, something that I've seen happen on other boards is when there's a vote that's a roll call vote, that ex officio members get to weigh in before. And I'm curious if that's something that we might be interested in.
We don't have any ex officio members.
Well, if our officers don't vote.
They're not members.
No, we
don't. I'm curious. Okay, so I just...
Thank you.
No, it's all good. Let's move on. Move on.
That's a point of William. That's what that one is.
What?
Okay, we're going to do a roll call vote here on this.
You have a point of order, David.
I was about to do the same when I found that in order to do that, we need, it can't just be ordered by one person. If there's no rule, then we have to, by majority, vote for roll call.
Oh, okay, I move that we do a roll call vote.
Seconded. All those in favor? 1, 2, 3.
Just count me, will you?
5, 6, 7.
They're moving over with.
9, 10.
Roll call. Roll call.
Count again.
Let's do it.
To give you all the record, whether you're for or against this, because I want to know.
All right, let's do the roll call vote.
No, I'm typing now. You guys made me type more stuff.
Let's do it.
Okay. Well, hold on. Dave Adelson.
I vote in favor.
Teresa?
Yes.
I don't know. How do I do this? I don't know.
Do you want me to name the name?
No, that's all right. Henry?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Sonali?
Yes.
Ray?
No.
Ambrose?
Aye.
Miguel?
Yes.
Myself, Roger Manning, yes. Kalungi?
Yes.
Sarv?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Julie?
No.
Vicky?
Yes.
Gerald?
Yes.
Wendy?
Yes.
Serena?
Yes.
Alice?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
William?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
Yeses are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 yes. No, I have 1, 2.
All right. That motion is carried.
Point of personal privilege. Point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Point of personal privilege.
Yes, Dan.
Yeah, I'd like to, for the record, Roger, positively disavow the motion. For the record, on behalf of the CFO, right, and the executive director. But I'd also like to say just one thing on behalf of the staff. The board has spoken on this issue, and while we've had disagreements on it, I do want to let you all know, on behalf of the senior staff and indeed the staff throughout the entire network, that we will fully comply with this resolution and completely respect the wishes of the board. It is very, very important, I think, for the future of the foundation that even though we may disagree on some of these issues, that once the board has spoken, that we do fully comply with it and implement the board's resolution. And I want to let you know that you will have the full support of the staff in the implementation of this resolution. Thanks.
Thank you, Dan. William.
Just quickly, I mean, I think that the point that was brought up earlier today about staff on the national board is important, and that now that this motion has passed, that we make sure that there isn't a conflict of interest for staff members having that information. So if we could get legal opinion on that, that would be really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. Mark.
Okay. The second one. Now, the second motion dealt with the reality of the fact that in the National Finance Committee, we have treasurers who also sit on their LSBs. And while the bylaws do mention, and by the way, Dan, before I go any further, thank you for the spirit of that, But why the bylaws are in, state the absolute right of directors, there is no such right afforded to LSB delegates. But we also recognize that the LSB delegates are charged to approve and review the budget. So how to solve? And this was the motion that we came up with in consultation, I should say, with senior management as well as board members and treasurers. In recognition of the bylaw requirements for local station board approval of local station budgets, and in deference to the sensitive nature of salary information, the Pacifica National Board hereby authorizes the treasurer of each LSB to have access, as per their membership on the National Finance Committee, to all salary and headcount information for their respective local stations. However, when preparing a salary and headcount report for their local finance committees and the local station board, the treasurer will not disclose the exact salary figure for any employees, but rather will include a range of no more than $7,000, i.e., a salary of $31,000 will be listed as range 27.5 to 34.5. Names of individual employees will not be included in any report, and all positions will be identified by title.
That a motion.
That's a motion.
I second that motion.
All right. Who seconded? Alice? All right. I'm trying to keep track for Roger. All right. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion.
Madam Chair?
Ray.
I suggest that the formula being used here, which I believe is a mean, be changed, because you wouldn't know exactly what the middle is, which would be the figure.
Well, you weren't supposed to notice that. It doesn't say mean. I just gave an example because it was easy for me. So they could put it anywhere randomly in a 7 range.
Sarf?
Madam Chair, I'd like to amend this, and it's a very, very small amendment. And where it says the treasurer will not disclose the exact salary, I want to put that as a shall not disclose the exact salary. And also where it says the names of individual employees will not be included, I would turn that into names of individual employees shall not be included in any report, and all positions will be identified by title.
He's wanting to change will to shall. Yes. Mark, can you accept that, or can we?
I shall.
All right.
I know I can't.
Yes.
The motion belongs to the body, not to Mark. So you just need to ask if there's any objection.
Is there any objection to changing it from will to shall? No. Okay, thank you. All right. So, Dave.
Well, I guess I feel that given that $7,000 is as much as a quarter of any of these salaries, I'd like that window that you can put it anywhere in to be a little narrower. So I'd like to amend it to be $3,000. Substitute $3,000 for
$7,000.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. Now, discussion on this amendment to the main motion. Any discussion? Is there any objection to changing it?
Yes.
William, do you want to speak to that?
I just have issues with the whole motion. So, I mean, I object to changing it. We can vote on it, so I can vote no. But I'd rather not waste more time.
Madam Chair. Ray.
I believe that lowering it to 3,000 actually tells the individual salary.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mark.
I'll withdraw.
He's withdrawn his amendment.
I just wanted to say that the 7,000 figure was not just thrown out of the air. It was actually reached, and initially we were looking at 10, And then 5-7 was the compromise figure that was agreed upon by everyone, including the CFO. So that's how 7 is there.
All right. William has offered to withdraw his amendment. However, the amendment now belongs to the body. So without objection, can we...
David's amendment.
All right. I'm sorry, David's amendment. Without objection, we can withdraw it, okay?
I object. Yeah. You object.
All right.
Yeah, it was on the stack. Can I?
Sure. Okay, you can talk.
No, I'd like to speak in favor of the amendment simply because just in terms of the spirit of having as much information as possible. Again, this is not public information. This is going to our LSB treasurer in order to make a determination on the budget. There shouldn't be this level of obscurity. I'd like to have as much information as possible, as specific information as possible. There shouldn't be any embarrassment about salary information because we shouldn't be embarrassed about the salaries. In fact, they're embarrassingly small at most of the stations. And I should hope that we can give a lot more information rather than less information. It adds a bigger window. Each salary having a window of 7,000 also increases the ambiguity of the entire budget. So I would like to speak in favor and ask to keep that amendment to reduce the range from 7,000 to 3,000.
Carol, did you want to speak to that?
Well, I thought Dave's original point that $7,000 is approximately a quarter of most of the salaries of our staff at Pacifica, and where the level of uncertainty or variability is that big, I think the information starts to become meaningless. So I support the amendment to reduce it to 3,000. Either way, which gives us a $6,000. Window. I mean, it gives us a $3,000 window. So if somebody's paid $30,000, the range will be specified 27 to 33.
No.
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 $1,500 each way.
$1,500 each way.
I'm sorry for my conceptual blur here. Somebody is paid $30,000. We'll be told they get paid between 28.5 and 31.5.
Or between 30 and 33, or 27 and 30.
You could do it any which way you want.
All right. So there's a $3,000 window. I think that if I could just make my point, I've got
quiet,
2 minutes,
please.
Guys.
Quiet.
Sorry, guy.
I think that level of specificity is good. It's going to the LSB. By the way, the treasurer knows the actual salary.
Yes.
The LSB is getting that range. I think that is good because the LSB could look at that and say, you know, our salaries are so low around here, we are not competitive anymore. But if you're looking at a $7,000 range, you can't tell. So I'm very strongly in favor.
All right, William.
Hello?
I lied. I'm sorry. But I'll just really quickly, I said I wasn't going to say anything. Just for the record, I just hope that we're all taking a note, because I hope that years down the line that it doesn't come to a point where we're making policies like this, because we just need to come to common ground and agree on what information can be shared and move on, because it's really, that's what's embarrassing, is that we're looking at a motion like this on our agenda.
Is there any further discussion,
yeah.
Lonnie?
Well,
that's beautiful, Mark. But
my understanding is that this motion has as its underlying problematics, not in the range of the salaries, because I think ranges are fine, can quibble over whether it's 3, 5, or 7. But as I recall, the attorney basically had made the argument that the rights of delegates are fundamentally different than the rights of directors, and that the issue that underlies this motion and the legal issue is what, if any, salary rights that delegates have. So this represented a compromise around the legal. So it's not clear, if I can speak, it's not clear, not only do delegates have different rights than directors, but I recall the attorney's opinion. He did not necessarily speak on the issue of delegates having access to the salaries in the same way that directors do.
May I address that?
Dave. You pass. Carol.
We're not giving information to delegates here. We're giving information to a standing committee of the National Board. The attorney did address that and said that the standing committees of the board must have access to the information that they need in order to do their job. This is not an individual delegate. If I'm a director, but if you as a delegate want to go get this information, you can't get it, but the LSB as a standing committee can.
What is the job of the...
Just a minute. Alice is before you. Alice?
Just to remind us all, I'm on my local LSB finance committee, not that you should know that, but that I'm on that committee as well as on the National Finance Committee. And on the local level, it's important for that local finance committee to try and get as good a sense as they can of the expenses of the local station. And so, you know, I'm willing to hear the arguments either way for 7,003, but as a member of the LSB, if I were not on the PNB and not the treasurer, I guess I could make a more rational decision on the local finance board with the lower figure. That's my statement.
Dan.
Well, I was only going to raise the question of the jobs of the local station board treasurer or the LSB as a whole. What, in fact, does it mean to review and approve the budget, and what information is necessary for that process to occur? One could make an argument that, in fact, just the three cover pages of a budget might be necessary to review and approve a budget. Or one could make an argument that, in fact, detailed financial data is, in fact, required for an LSB treasurer or, indeed, an LSB to conduct their job. So the question, one of the questions on the table, I think, is clarification of the job duties of an LSB treasurer and the LSB as a whole.
Dave?
It's mostly a point of information. I was reading it, and I don't see anything that says that where the treasurer is reporting this to that committee, the finance committee, that it's in executive session. So conceivably, although it says, conceivably if it's done in a public meeting, and by the way, I'm not opposed to this, I'm just pointing it out, that salary information would then be available to essentially anybody. Is it contemplated that any time that information is being dealt with, it's being dealt with in executive session, or what is the status of that?
Am I next?
Go ahead and respond.
Okay, because I want to just talk a little about the process as we see it. First of all, remember, the treasurers are members of the National Finance Committee as well as five board members, the information regarding the specific salary will be reviewed there. We already have a listserv that's closed, only open to those individuals who are members of that committee. And our discussions, when it got to that level, yes, would be an executive session. So, I mean, the treasurer gets the information through, remember, as per their membership in the National Finance Committee. That's where that information is revealed. Now, what does the treasurer do once we have that information? For example, I was just looking at KPFA's 05 budget. They have budgeted $2 million, a little over $2 million, in gross salaries for next year. The question became, for when the treasurer goes before their finance committee with this range, and the question comes up of the $2 million allocation, what exactly does that cover? So they have a range by just the title and the salary range, so they understand what the $2 million is buying.
Does that discussion happen in a public meeting of that committee?
Well, that discussion happens as per the amendment in their local finance committee. Or in the LSB. Once the range, remember, it only is specific. The exact stays in the National Finance Committee. Once it leaves there, the range is available to the LSB.
But fundamentally, that means it's available to the public if it's in public meeting.
No, yes. We adopt a policy that's in
public. But this is silent on that question of whether or not that information, the range information, will be public because it's silent on the question of whether such discussions of the Finance Committee would be in public session or executive session.
So are you suggesting an amendment that says it requires an executive session?
I want
for that?
A clarification, that's all. If other people want to make that motion, they can. I like a lot of transparency, but I want to clarify that.
I have a point of order. There is a motion to amend the main motion on the floor. And we're not discussing that. It's the range motion, and that this could be. You could actually make another motion after we address that motion to add some sort of executive session language to the main motion.
If I may, I think this discussion is actually relevant to the question of what range you report. So,
well,
I think Ray, did you want to speak, or we have you on the stack here?
Yes. Well, if I don't know if we're discussing the amendment only, because my question was. Carol made the point, which I believe is correct, that the right is to access to information is given to the committee, not to an individual LSB members. And the way it's written now, the only time the group is referred to is in the second portion that says that when preparing a report for headcount on behalf of the committee, the previous section seemed to suggest that the treasurer could make that request on his or her own name.